Let's see your Bibles. Let's see your Bibles. Say word. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. So I had this really good back workout. Workout, weights. I was at a resort locally, and my wife and I went to the gym in the morning. And I got to use machines that I hadn't used in a long time because I don't have those machines. So my back is a little sore today. Okay, it's kind of feeling all yoked out right now. Just kind of walk around like this. That's what it feels like. And the reason my back is sore is because I did something different. And whenever you work out, if you do the same routine over and over again, your body will get used to it and you won't have as much results. So you want to change it up. That's why CrossFitting is so good. The same is true in our life. We get accustomed to living a certain way, and we have our relationship with God that we can get so accustomed to what we believe and how we walk with God that we block ourselves off to new things. And when I say new, I don't mean new outside the Bible new, just kingdom of God new. Because I would, and it's not my opinion, it's a fact, we only know the edges of who God is. The Bible tells us that. We know very, very, very little about the truth of God as presented to us in his word and through God, what he's created and how he reveals himself to us. And so whenever we hear something new, we kind of get kind of ruffled because we don't like change. People like to have control. Matter of fact, the ruling principle in heaven is peace. Where everything is in order, God is in control, and in heaven, the ruling principle is peace. The ruling principle on earth with man is control. We want to be in control. We want to know what's going on. We want to have things our way. And in one way or another, our control is the ruling principle in our lives that breeds to pride, arrogance, selfishness, ego, fighting, and arguments. Matter of fact, James chapter 4, verse 1 says, where do arguments and fights come from? It comes from our desire for pleasure. We want what we want. So the ruling principle in heaven is peace. Everything is order. If you ever been out to the mountains, the beach, anywhere where man hasn't touched it, it's peaceful. Whether it be snow, desert, ocean, forest, it's all peaceful. Why? Because God's got it in control. Where man is in control, control. Okay? But if God's peace is going to be on our life, we have to give up control. And when you give up control, you get uncomfortable. So in this series, you're going to be challenged with some new stuff, maybe not new, and you may feel uncomfortable. I just want to encourage you, trust God. A friend of mine had a vision, and in the vision, Jesus was standing in front of a vault, and in the vault was money, and everybody was standing in line, and my friend was, 20 people back. It was a dream. He can't remember, and when you went up to the front of the line, you would say, Jesus would say, how much do you want, and whatever you asked for, he would give it to you. It was a dream. First person comes, I want 100 grand. Jesus says, hold just a second. Here's 100. Jesus says, oh, yeah, I got that right in my pocket. Here you go, 100 grand. I want half a million, want, 250 grand, whatever it is. And my friend was thinking, what am I going to ask for when I get to the front of the line? And when he gets to the front of the line, he says, Jesus said, what do you want? He says, I want it all. I want to encourage you to want it all. Now, just know, if God gives it all to you, he's still got more for everybody else. So don't worry about anybody else. Just get what you can get. It may sound selfish. No, Jesus says, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:3, that all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places are reserved for you. So ask him for that. Ask him. Can I get amen? So when Jesus was asked how to pray, this is what he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Matthew 6, verse 8. It says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask of him. How many of you realize that God knows what you need before you ask? He already knows. Okay, then Jesus says, in this manner, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Everyone say, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Say, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Say, on earth as it is in heaven. The series that we're starting today, which is going to go for the rest of the year, pretty much, is called Kingdom Come. And we are going to pray and learn how to usher the kingdom of heaven into our life. Lord, I want your will that's in heaven to be in my life. In heaven, there was total peace. I want that. Can I get amen? In heaven, there is awesome power. I want that. Amen? Amen. In heaven, God's idea for who you are supposed to be, he wants that in your life. Can I get amen? We're going to ask God to open up heaven. All his power will come on our life and he will rock our world. That means you're going to have to give up control. And I trust me, whatever your concept of God is, it is only a mere edge of who he really is. There's more where that came from. We want that. This whole series is about that. We're actually going to have open heaven nights where we are going to ask God to open up heaven and do something supernatural in this room you've never seen before. You can come if you want. But we're going to say, God, we want it all. We don't want to go through the church motion and have our routine and just have church service and think this is all there is. Now, to that end, before we officially start the teaching of the sermons, I wanted to do a survey with y'all. And we sent out a survey this week. About 500 people took it. We're going to show you some of the results. There were 32 questions. We're going to show you three. But then we're going to take a survey in service today. Hopefully you have your phone. Y'all got your phone? You can turn your phone on. We're going to take a survey here in a minute. But I just want to show you three questions just to kind of whet your appetite. Now, understand this. This is a survey, not a test. The only purpose of the survey is to find out, one of the purposes of the survey is to find out what people believe, not to make judgment on whether it's right or wrong or neither, because some answers aren't right or wrong. Some questions have two answers. It's also to prepare your heart for something new, because some of the questions, especially the ones I'm going to ask you, I think are going to challenge the way you process the Bible. And challenge the way you view God and your relationship with God, and hopefully challenge some of the things you believe. Today is not to determine what the answer is, just the question. And my hope is that you go home questioning what you believe. That you're not necessarily wrong, there's just more to what you believe. And you'll know what I mean when I get to those questions. So let me just give you three of the 32 that we asked the other day, and just show you some answers. Again, the answers don't determine right or wrong, it's just what people believe. So the first question I'm going to just show you real quick. Do you want to speak in tongues? Now, tongues is an angelic language where it doesn't sound like English. Some people think tongues is a human language that you don't know, that the Holy Spirit gives you. We're going to talk about all that. But we ask this question. Do you want to speak in tongues? Some people, 29 people said yes. 37% said no. And 34% said, I don't know. How many of you ever heard someone speak in tongues? How many of you have never heard anyone speak in tongues? Oh, wow. How many of you do not know what tongues is? Okay, very good. So tongues is here we go. In Acts chapter 2, the apostles were given a supernatural ability to speak the gospel in different languages that they had never learned. And so there's one school of thought that tongues is speaking a human language that you don't know, that the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. And another school of thought is that it's an angelic language that the Holy Spirit speaks from your gut out of your mouth supernaturally. And it's an act of worship. It's a connection with God. And so some people do that now on a regular basis in their prayer language. They pray in tongues in another language. And the Holy Spirit is flowing through them in a very unique way. And so you saw some people say, I don't want that. Some people said, I do want that. And other people said, I don't know. You have to give up control. It's weird to some people. You hear someone go, I don't speak in tongues, by the way. And it doesn't matter. I wish I could. And they speak, and you're like, what are they doing? I don't want to give up control. Other people say, I want that to happen. One's not right, one's not wrong. It's just a question. Think about it. Another question was, have you experienced or seen angels? 30% said yes, 48% said no, 22% said I don't know. I was at the airport the other day and this lady helped me and I literally asked her, are you an angel? No, really did, because she came out of nowhere to help us, and I don't know how she knew we needed the help we needed, and she got it done. And I literally touched her and said, are you real? Are you an angel? Because I want to know, because I don't want you to disappear behind some door and never come back, and all of a sudden I got my ticket, and I didn't get a chance to say thank you to an angel. Some people don't know, okay? You may experience an angel. Some people have experienced angels in the flesh. Some people have experienced angels right in this room, orchestrating worship right here in this room. There was someone praying down here, and they felt an angel go by them like that and touch their leg. Right up here on stage, bump their arm. And you may say, I don't believe in that. Okay. Just question. Just ask it. We're going to talk about angels. Next question. Do you believe it's your responsibility to disciple someone as part of your relationship with God? 74% said yes. 6.1% said I have no responsibility to disciple people. 21% said I don't know. Are you feeling me on this? You know where we're going with this? Okay, get out your phones. We're going to take 11 questions, 12 questions. Are y'all awake? Yes. East County, North County, y'all awake? Let me hear you out. Say Jesus. Jesus. Okay, here are the questions. Now, it is very important for you to understand, this is not a test. This is not a test. You are going to see the results come up on the screen. In other words, if 49% say yes, you're going to see 49% on the screen when you text, okay? If you're on the lesser percentage, it doesn't mean you're wrong, because the higher percentage doesn't mean right. This is simply to see what y'all believe and have you question what you believe. Why? To disturb you a little bit. Really, I hope that some of you walk here going, oh man, now you got me thinking. Exactly, because if God is going to do something new in your life, you have to be ready for it. You can't say, and this is the danger. The danger is for you to think you know how God is supposed to work. And so when God does something new, you reject it. Question number one. You're going to text to this number, 22333. That's the, instead of, you know, if you want to text somebody, you put in their phone number. You're going to put in that number, 2233. Matter of fact, hold your whole phone up if you have a phone and you're texting. Let's see how many people are going to do this. Very good. And in your lesson plan, you have these questions as well. Very good. We're going to get a good sample. We got East County and North County also. You're going to see the results. Text 2233. And here's a question. Are you, is that 100%? Are you sitting at the Rock? 100%. Is that the answer? Oh, keep going. You're going to text in 625. If you want to say yes in your message, type in the number 625044. If you want to say no, type in 625045. And if you don't know where you're sitting, you want to type in 95008. So go ahead and text that in your message. You know, type in the number, 99%. Okay, so it's moving. So people are texting in, that means it's happening. So the first person. Now, some people might not be sitting at the Rock. Some people might be in a car. Some people might be across country. So it's a real question. Okay, this is just a test. This is the only test question. Okay, oh, we got some no's, don't know's. Some people don't even know where they're at. 6% are not here. Oh, by the way, this 6% are people outside of the Rock. They're at their home. They're online somewhere around the world. So thank you very much for texting in. Very good. 11%, 12%. Wow, look at that. Look at that. Now, I would assume most of those people aren't here, and they're not here, but hi. You guys didn't get that. Look at it. 19% are not here. 20%. That's pretty good. That's pretty awesome, ain't it? 21%. Wow. God bless all y'all who are out there somewhere not at the Rock. God bless y'all. Amen. Amen. This is an interesting stat. Look at that. And I don't know about the people who don't know. I don't know what that means. 26%. Did you guys vote? Did you guys vote? Okay. We got a lot of people that are not here that are watching. God bless y'all out there. Maybe they vote. Amen. Amen. I think, well, let's keep, it's still going. Okay, 29%, 30%. Wow. Okay, we're going to have to edit. Okay, question number two. This is the question. I want you to think about this question very carefully. Do you believe, this is also in your lesson plan, do you believe that every spiritual experience that you have must be validated by a direct teaching or example in the Bible? Let me explain the question. Let's say someone's praying, because this has come up here at the church. Someone's praying, and they have gold dust on their hands. They go, I got gold dust on my hands. Some people call it angel dust, whatever. It's just gold. It's literally dust, gold, dust. Do you believe that if you don't see in the Bible where it teaches you can have gold dust on your hands, that that is illegitimate or not? And the reason this is so important is because if you believe that everything that happens on a spiritual level that is legitimate has to be taught in the Bible, that means if something happens that's not in the Bible, you will say it's not from God. Are you following me on that? Okay, so answer the question. Do you believe that a spiritual experience must be validated by direct teaching in the Bible? And 87% say no. 11% say yes. Okay, again, we're not necessarily, if you're 11%, the 10%, not necessarily wrong or right. I want you to think about it. We will be talking about that. But here's the thought. Is what that means is that if something happens and it's not in the Bible exactly that way, that it's not legit. In other words, Jesus put his fingers in a person's ear to pray for them because they were deaf. If someone does this, and that's not in the Bible, and they get healed, does that mean that the healing was from the devil? That's the question. Because God is going to do it. Again, I'm just making you think, especially for the 11% or the percent that say it has to be in the Bible, because you're going to hear things and see things, and God may experience things and say, that's not in the Bible, and someone may say to you, that's not in the Bible. Well, it depends on how you view the Bible. Does the Bible prescribe what should happen, or does it describe what can happen? That's the question you have to wrestle with. Some people have it where the Bible has to prescribe every single thing that happens. Okay, are you with me? Very good. Number three, do you believe that the majority of your spiritual growth is the responsibility of others or yourself? In other words, whose fault is it that you don't grow? Is it Pastor Miles's? Or is it you? Or both? Now, you may say both, and 99% is on Pastor Miles and 1% is on you. Mine, look at that. 92%, 8% say both. Okay? And again, what your answer is going to determine and influence your perspective on things. Okay? And your expectation. Because some people come to church expecting something that we have no expectation to give you. I'm going to say that again. Some people, a lot of people, I would say the majority of people, come with an expectation that we have no intention or not necessarily intention. In other words, you have an expectation that the only spiritual teaching you're going to get all week is here. Or you have an expectation that your seat should be available to you every time. Or that everybody here is designed to serve your needs to make you happy. You may have that expectation that when you call, I should be able to answer the phone and talk to you. No, this is a fact that some people, we get a lot of cursing on our phone. And people, wildness. It's a wrong expectation. Okay? So you want to, just a thought. Next one. Do you believe that only those that surrender their lives to Jesus Christ go to heaven? Do you believe that only those who surrender their lives, look at y'all already, you're already ahead of me. Are you ahead of me? Yes. 6-7%. Some people say no. So a third of people say, oh, 40, 50, some people changing their mind. Whoa, what? I don't know. I don't know. Okay, some people said 5%. I don't know. 6%. I don't know. 7%. I don't know. Why is this muy importante? There are a lot of people who go to church and you have like some stuff is just automatic to you and you don't realize that there's 1 in 5 people, actually more than that. If you take 17% and 9%, that's 26%, almost a third of the people, 27%. If you combine the bottom two, don't necessarily believe you have to surrender your life to Jesus Christ to go to heaven. That's almost a third of the people. That's a lot of people. And you think, well, why do you keep saying that? Because a lot of people don't believe what you believe. That's why it's so important when you come here to be a light. Because you have no idea what the person next to you believes. Amen? Amen. Next one. Do you believe that people who do not believe in Jesus Christ go to hell? In other words, if I don't believe in Jesus Christ, and let me say this before you answer, if I've never heard of Christ, me believing in Christ is having faith in what God reveals to me. But if I hear Christ and I say, nope, I'm not going to follow Christ, I'm going to do it this way, those people go to hell. That's that question. Okay? Here we go. 66%. How many of you are shocked by that percentage? Say amen. Amen. Very good. This is so good. This is why when you come to church, it's not for you to become a fat cat. Give me information. Give me. Make me sing. Make me feel good. No, you got to come for ministry. There are people walking in church next to you who want to kill themselves. They're coming here as a last resort. How do we know? They tell us. Yes. Oh, can you put up the last result? I didn't see can you put up the result of that last one? Okay, 66%. Okay, if you add up 21% and 13% or whatever, that's 34%. That's one third of the people who answered the survey. Do you believe that people who do not believe in Jesus Christ go to hell? 33%, exactly, people say no. I don't know. Does that shock you? Say amen if that shocks you. Okay, very good. Here's why it shocks me, but it also blesses me. Because those are the kind of people I want in church. Amen? God bless you. God loves you, and we'll keep teaching on that. Next one. Do you believe that demonic influences can hold an aspect of a Christian's life in bondage? Let me clarify. This is not demon possession, but do you believe as a Christian that a demonic influence can hold you in bondage? Woo! Oh, suck it now. Yeah, baby Bubba. This is so important because if you believe, 98% right now believe that so far that a demon and a spiritual, evil, wicked spirit can hold you in bondage, if you believe that, the only way you can free yourself is with spiritual weapons, and it ain't going to be a 5-minute prayer in the morning. It ain't going to happen. And I'm going to tell you, demons will do things to you that you are trying to fight with medicine, and it's spiritual. You're trying to fight it with counseling, and it's spiritual, and the demon is laughing at your counselor. I'm not saying counselors are wrong. I have a counselor. Counselors are great. But you have issues in your life that are spiritual. And you can put all the medicine, all the therapy you want, and the demon says, that has nothing to do with getting rid of me, and I am going nowhere. We're going to get into that, by the way. Is there another one? Do you believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or the same thing, are the Spirit unused today? A gift is a supernatural enabling by the Spirit of God to give you a supernatural ability, wisdom, faith, healings, miracles, speaking in tongues, that God can give you a supernatural ability to do something. Do you believe that still is relevant today, or the gifts don't operate at all today. Okay, 97% say yes. We got a little I don't knows and knows kind of trying to bump in there a little bit. Here we go. 96%. Pretty much. 96. I don't know. Here's why this is important. It's because if you say there are no spiritual gifts, there's no supernatural power in my life to be expressed in a specific way, then you'll live like that. That's how you'll live. Okay? Next one. But if you believe that they're active, then you should be saying, okay, I want them. What's next one? Do you believe that you were meant to live the miraculous life that Jesus lived? Woo! I love this question. Jesus healed the blind, healed the deaf, raised the dead, talked to the weather, cast out demons. Do you believe that you and I were meant to live like that? 5% say no, 8% say no, don't know. 13% say don't know, don't know, don't know, don't know, don't know. So important for you to know, because I know a lot of y'all are not voting. You're sitting back watching the stats going, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. You got to think about it. Because if you're going to, remember we talked about I want more? If you're going to get more, you got to have answers to these questions. Now, there are some situations where God zaps people. In other words, you're driving down the streets. I don't believe in tongues. I don't believe. Blah, 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 and all of a sudden it happens. It does happen. But most of the time, God is looking for a welcome heart. Next one. Oh, by the way, can you put up the answer? I didn't see the result, end result of that. I guess that's a no. Someone give me a sign. There we go. 70%. 30% of people said either no or I don't know if I'm supposed to live the miraculous life Jesus lived. Okay? Now, I am blessed with those people in church. Some of those people could be people who've been walking with God for a long time. And if God has been wanting you to live like he's lived and you've been walking with God for a long time, God would want to change that, if that's true. We're going to talk about that, very much so. Next one. Do you want to live the miraculous life Jesus lived? Remember we talked about being uncomfortable? Yeah, now I just want to go to church, mind my business. I don't even want anyone to know I'm a Christian. I just want to blend in. 96%, yes. And what I forgot to tell you is that if you say yes, you're telling God something. So I forgot to tell you that. You can change your vote later. You may say no now, but nah, I changed my mind. 7% said, I don't know if I want to live like Jesus. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. 2% almost no. Again, there are people here who don't walk with God. There are people here who don't know God. There's people here who've been Christians for a long time who are answering no and I don't know. And we pray God would speak to you about, and yes, God would speak to all of you. Because there are some of you who are saying, you want to live like Christ, but you're doing nothing about it. Next one. Very good, 90%. Do you believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit or Holy Spirit filling, the Holy Spirit coming on you to empower you, is an event that can happen after salvation in addition to salvation. In other words, I asked Christ to be my Savior. And do you believe that at another time, the Holy Spirit could come on you and give you even more power? And more, and there's another event that can happen that even boosts your power and your boldness and your courage. Woo! 96% said yes. Six percent said, I don't know. In a few minutes, we're going to pray for you. That happens. How many of this is interesting to you to answer these questions? The answer is very good, very good, very good, very good, very good. Okay, next one. Very good. Do you believe that we should desire and pursue spiritual gifts? In other words, Lord, if I have the gift of faith, I want it. If I have the gift of miracles, I should want it. If I have the gift of healings, I should want it. If I have the gift of tongues, I should want it. Do you believe that you should desire to have the spiritual gifts God wants for you? Or, whatever. Y'all gonna get your world rocked. This is gonna be good. This is gonna be good. You know why? Because God said, if you knock, the door will be open. Okay, very good. 95%. We're good. Let's next one. Okay, this is the last question, correct? Okay, last question. Is your theology based on what you have studied or what you have experienced, or both? Whoa, 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 whoa. Do the Tootsie Roll. Whoa, whoa. Why is this question so important? It's because people will experience something that will change the whole way they view God, not trump the Bible, but help understand the Bible and God. And if you think I have to read it only in the Bible and my experience is irrelevant. In other words, if an angel showed up to you in a room when I was 19 years old, I just gave my life to Christ, and I was smoking weed and doing everything that I shouldn't have been doing, and Jesus showed up in my room and stood in the room. I was laying in the bed at the other side of the bed. Rock my world. Never happened to me. It hasn't happened since. And most of the time when I go to hotels, when I travel by myself, if I'm in my room at night, I lay in the bed and go, God, can you do it again? And one time I was in a room and someone had, you know, that silly putty thing that glows in the dark? They wrote on the wall, I'm watching you. So when at night when I turned the lights off, it was like, I'm watching you. I was like, is that you, God, or is that the devil, or is that some kid that's just messing with my head? Is how you understand the Bible, I want to answer that question now, but I won't, but I'm going to tell you to, I want you to think about it. Here's what I want you to think about. You have the questions in your lesson plan. Starting next week, we're going to start the series, and we're going to go through God's creation, the devil's destruction, and God's plan to restore the kingdom on earth. And we're going to talk about the devil. We're going to talk about agreements we have with the devil and how the devil deceives us and all about the devil. We're going to talk about Jesus and how he walked in the full power of the Holy Spirit. And the whole goal is that you would live the life that Jesus intended you to live. Simple as that. Tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit, all that stuff is all a subset of you just being the person that Christ designed you to be. Can I get an amen? It's that simple. What the devil has done so masterfully is divide us with all these sub-issues. We want you to walk with God. So right now I'm going to have the PSTs, my pastoral support team, they're going to come down here, and we want to pray for you. There are some of you who are going to say, I want all that the Holy Spirit has for me today. In all the campuses, the PSTs, the pastoral support team is going to come down in front of the stage, and we're going to ask you to come down, and we just want to pray for you that the Holy Spirit would come upon you. You're like, what does that mean? Give up control. Give up control. God is never going to do anything to you that is harmful. Do you believe that? Some of you are sick. Some of you are depressed. Some of you have bad self-image. Some of you have cancer. God wants to touch your life in a supernatural way. And we just want to pray for you. Some of your marriages are falling apart. God wants to heal your marriage. Remember, 90-something percent of you said, oh, I believe that demons can have a stronghold in my life. We want to speak to that. We want to pray for that. Some of you are addicted to pornography, addicted to drugs, alcohol, whatever, and some of those addictions are instigated by demonic forces. Some of you have illness that is spiritual. Oh. Now I know some of y'all going, I don't know about this stuff. You just answered the questions. You said you want miracles. You said you believe in God. There's no catch. Let's pray. Oh, God, you are so good. Lord, I thank you so much for your faithfulness. And I thank you so much for the hearts that are pounding out of their chest right now. Because you are getting ready to change lives today. And Lord God, we thank you for sending the Spirit of God on our life. We thank you for filling us for service, giving us gifts so we may serve each other and build the church up. And we thank you for all the things we're going to learn this year about these things. But Lord, there are people here today that want more today. They want more of the Spirit of God. They want more of the gifts of God. They want to be healed. They want to be encouraged. And I pray right now, as I'm praying, in whatever campus you're in, if you say, you know what, I just want someone to pray for me. I want someone to pray for me. I always want you right now, eyes closed, heads bowed, just to stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet and say, Lord, and by standing, you're saying, Lord, I want more. God bless you. Stand to your feet. Eyes closed. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. We see you all over. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good.